This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz from New York with my friend Rich.
Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
What's going on,
Rich? I almost feel like fro nose photo.
You do it with your little pointy fingers and yeah. Just missing a little.
Well, that's why people should be watching these podcasts. You know, I know you're driving. Don't watch them while you drive. But they're so visually entertaining. Anyway, what's up with you, Brian Berkowitz?
Not much. Summer's here.
It's here. It's hot as hell in Sacramento.
Nice.
It's supposed to be 107 tomorrow. So,
Do you wear a tank top to your shoots?
Nah, I never wear a tank top. I can't rock a tank top anymore. Not with that. Okay. I rock a t-shirt usually. I'm very casual these days. I'm not living up to my goal was to wear really. You know what? My goal originally was when I saw Scott Hargis, his video, I learned so much from his video and I said, I like the way he dresses. And I thought I would dress just like Scott Hargis. And that went for a little while, but I'm just, you know, and you look like you're a t-shirt kind of guy. What do you wear?
I am a t-shirt type of guy. What polo do I wear shirt to my guy? Shoot? Yeah, my shoots, I either wear a polo or a black t-shirt. Yeah. When it gets really hot, heat of the summer, July, August, with the New York smog and humidity, I got to go with the t-shirt. No other choice.
I think we're just a little more casual, though, than you are in New York City or New York. So,
yeah, but I don't California. Know. I like to, we have a casual type of job. I like to keep it cash, as they say.
Yeah, guys. Okay, so before we get going, because we've got a really special, great guest, I am super looking forward to this podcast. But I'd like to just say a word from HD Photo Hub. Did you know HD Photo Hub's online scheduling automatically calculates the drive time from shoot to shoot and even factors in traffic patterns based on the time of day? I think that's pretty amazing. Their system will even suggest appointment times that are more efficient for you based on the shoot you already have on your schedule. So switch to HD Photo Hub and offer your clients more convenience and real-time online scheduling. That's hdphotohub.com. And I got to say, I got to check that out because I could use some of that, the miles I drive, I could use it. So who do we have today, Brian?
Sure. So I'd like to welcome our guest. I think if I'm not mistaken, we attempted to have you on last season, but our schedules didn't align, but you are finally here with us. So Dominic, or Dom, as they say, Wilkerson, welcome to the show.
What's up, Dom? Thank you guys for having me. It's great that our schedules can finally link up, especially now during the busy season right now. I'm tired. I don't know about you guys.
I've been up since 4:30 a.m. today. And it's,
you have a new baby though.
My baby's sleeping. Baby? I have a 3-month-old baby. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Not for my sleep, but for everything else.
You know, it's your future.
I guess so. So Dom, what's going on? We have a ton to talk about. I mean, you have a great story. You are co-anchoring is the right word, maybe a workshop at PMRE this year.
Correct.
I don't know if that's the right word, co-anchoring.
Co-hosting?
I made that up. Co-hosting, co-giving. I don't know. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. But before we get into it, why don't you tell people? And I love your business name too, so we'll get into that too. Why don't we people where they can find you and look you up if they want to take a look at your stuff while we chat, like Instagram or your website or anything like that?
So yeah, a lot of you guys can find me in a lot of the Facebook groups and everything like that. But if you want to look at my portfolio or anything like that, you can head over to Instagram, which I'm a big proponent for Instagram, and it's Dom Does Media. We got that. And if you want to check out more of my videos and pictures, my website is domdoesmedia.com.
Pretty straightforward. And that's kind of what I was talking about with your business name. And I don't know where that came from because, I mean, it's straight to the point. You know, what do you do?
Yeah,
I do media.
Definitely. You know, I had a very influential person in my life that I was all like, you know what, they inspire me a lot. And so I think I'm going to mimic kind of off of what, you know, they were known for. And I just pushed that way. And I was like, I like this. So now it's like Dom does a lot of different things.
A lot of different media.
Yep.
So you approve of PFRE turning into PMRE from
I definitely do.
For real estate to photography, media, real estate.
Well, I think the biggest thing from the very first PFRE conference, it was very architecturally minded, the very first one.
Were you at 2019?
Correct. Yes, I was.
Because I don't think we actually met in 2019 there. I know last year we met a little, hung out a little bit, but the first one...
You met both sides of me. You met my drunk me, you met my fun me, and then the hangover me.
I think everybody met, not both, all three sides of you.
Yeah, but I had a lot of sides.
But yeah, 2019, like I didn't even know you were there.
Let's talk more about this, Dominic. How long have you had these multiple personalities? No, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yes. So, 2019, I was there. I was brand new in the industry. I only started in 6 days from now will be my fourth year anniversary of my first shoot. So I started June 15th, 2018. So I'm going on my fifth year right now. And so going to PFRE helped teach me a lot of things back then, but I kind of took away the part of, they were saying, don't do real estate, do architecture. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like this. And so then now we've moved into more of a media company and everything like that. And or like my business has moved into a media company, and then now PMRE is PMRE. And so I'm like, it's evolving and I like that.
Yeah, I know it's crazy that you're only around for 4 years because you're not shy about sharing the type of numbers you're doing. You post them in a lot of the groups. And for a four-year-old business, it is fucking incredible. I have to say that. I have to curse, because the numbers you're doing for a four-year-old business are insanity. So I commend you for that. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's go back, because you have a great story. I know you're a vet, and let's talk about that and how that all came about, and how you went from, you know, being, you were in the Army or the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force.
So you were there for many years, and then you came back and you started a real estate photography business, which is kind of strange. So let's hear a little bit about this.
So we'll dive into that just a little bit. I joined the military following my grandfather, who was in the Air Force for 20 years. So I joined the Air Force, but I became a cop. He was personnel or something. But so in the Air Force, security forces act as a military cop while stateside, but act almost kind of like a mobile infantry while deployed in Iraq. So I did a couple of deployments. I did one in Iraq and another to the Middle East. But then whenever I came back, I did presidential security for both Bush and Obama.
What year did you start in the military?
2005 to
2013. Okay, wow. Okay.
And so what was it? I was guarding nukes, funny enough, in Vegas. They don't have nukes there no more, so I can talk about it. And then went to DC right after my first appointment and did presidential security. And so that was cool. I got to meet Bush. I got to meet Obama. I got to meet their kids. Got to play with Bo, Obama's dog, who just passed away, I think last month or two, whatever. Softest dog in the world. Quite amazing.
The Labradoodle?
It was a Portuguese water dog.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. And so we were looking at it, and I looked at the Secret Service agent and like, hey, is that Bo? And the guy just smiled at me. I'm like, can I pet the dog that's not named Bo? He's like, yeah. And so it was like, of course it was him, because they were about to fly out to Hawaii with the family. And so, you know, that was just some good experiences and everything. I learned a lot that I am not one to have a boss, but that's, you know, I had bigger dreams. But I injured myself a couple times. I broke my leg. I was telling Rich before. I went to go take down a guy. I didn't want to slam him too hard on his head. So I stood up just a little bit. He rotated me the other way and slammed me down. But my foot stayed planted, which caused my leg to spiral out like that. Yeah, so they medically discharged me because of that. And so I couldn't be a cop anymore with a broken leg, with the way that it healed. Arthritis.
How does it feel when you're working these long days?
Well, I mean, it hurts. It swells up, and you know, just standing on it for a while. Yeah. It definitely, I know my shoulder's pretty messed up too from Iraq and everything like that, but hey, it's cool. You know, I get a monthly payment from them. They're like, here's $1,500 a month. We broke you. I'm like, all right, that's cool, man. Whatever. And then I tried to go be a photojournalist. I did college for a little while, and then not to get too much into politics, but 2016 election showed me that no media is unbiased. And that's what they teach you in journalism school, is to stay unbiased. And once they teach you how to read a report and write a report, you look at every single report on how they're writing it and what angle they're taking. So after that, I decided to open up a real estate photography thing, because everybody always told me that real estate photography is boring, but you make money that way. They didn't tell me how much money I'd be making.
I mean, were you always into photography throughout your time in the service? Like, or
so it was. I apologize, I didn't mean to cut you off. What do you call that? Yeah, I picked up the camera to showcase car shows. And during my time in the military, I did a lot of car shows, hanging out with all that. And then I started shooting for some international magazines and websites, like Formula Drift and everything like that. And me and my trusty little D750, that thing was, I was an Nikon shooter at one time. I can never go back to that ever again. It's okay, Rich. We have our faults.
I'll never go back to Nikon.
Yeah.
And but if it works for you, stay with Nikon.
Yes, definitely. Don't chase the dreams. But they just weren't paying. Like, I would spend 12-hour days at the track or at the event, and they would pay me for a 500-word article and like 50 images, like $100. I was making below minimum wage. I'm like, I can't do this. And so that's why I moved into real estate photography. You know who I try to be? I try to be Casey Neistat at one point. And so that's what transitioned me easily into doing video for real estate.
You talk about making money. There's a money maker.
That dude does make money. He's just living.
Hey, I got to break in, Dominic. I just keep flashing. I feel like I'm interviewing Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, I hear that.
The voice and the look. And the only thing missing is a fern. Okay.
So. True. Do you know Patton Oswalt?
Sure.
I do. Well, I know him personally.
A lot of people say that my voice reminds me of him. Like on my TikTok channel, they're like, is that Patton Oswalt talking? Because sometimes I don't show my face and just me complaining about traffic.
You shave the beard. I can see some resemblance.
Yeah, I can definitely see it too. You know, a short little guy with like tiny hands. And yeah, and, you know, I can see that.
Maybe we can digitally insert a fern to your right, you know, and all that, you know, negative maybe space. So. You know?
Yeah, I call this my trailer park room. I live in a stick-built house, but for whatever reason, they put like wood paneling on this office. I'm like, all right, cool, man, whatever. I grew up in a trailer, so I'll accept this.
It looks like my grandparents' basement.
So. Yep. I don't have the 3-inch carpet, though. You know, the orange
maroon.
Carpet.
Maroon shag.
Maroon, yeah.
Or green, yeah.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, you got into real estate photography. And what was your first, like after a month or two, did you go, oh, I really like this? Or did it take a while to get into it, to get on your direction, your trajectory that you're on now? Did it take a while or real quick?
It kind of did, because so when I first started out, I answered a Facebook ad looking for a real estate photographer to be with this company. And so it was a good 3-month interview process, to where I had to do 2 or 3 phone calls with them, Zoom calls, go out and shoot with their lead photographer to make sure, you know, I understood it. He had me shoot a house, and then finally he released me. But like, God, my first shoot, I was trying to use creative angles. I'm like, look at this. This looks cool. What's verticals? What's flambient? We got to drink off of that word from now on. Anyways, it was just bad. But I worked with him, you know, they tossed me a bunch of clients that I've learned that might have just been their trouble clients. And so I shoot from out of the 20 that they sent me, I maybe shoot for one of them now because I built a really good relationship with them. But that summer, they threw me in during the summer, and it took a lot. Like I made so many mistakes but by making mistakes, it taught me lessons. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept pushing. And then I learned, like, once that first invoice hit, I'm like, oh, I like this. I think my first 15 days in June, I made like $6,000. So from June 15th to June 30th, it was like $6,000. I'm like, hold up. I used to work 80-hour weeks, or, you know, every 2 weeks to even make a $500 paycheck. And I just made $6,000 in 15 days. What? And so sometimes you got to suck it up. But yeah, it took a while for me to get into the groove of things. And I feel bad for my 2018 clients because my stuff wasn't that great back then.
Yeah, look, we've all been there. Rich and I talk about it all the time, our first jobs ever. And, you know, my first job ever, I've said this before, my first job ever was not real estate. It was actually for an interior designer. Mm-hmm. And I delivered some awful Photomatics HDR crap. This is going back 2013. I had no idea what I was doing. I posted them actually probably a couple months ago, those original shots. But, you know, that's how you grow, I guess. That's how, you know, like you said, the mistakes that you made help you grow into what you are today. So,
And you don't know what you don't know.
That is like,
that is so true.
That's your next t-shirt, Rich. After clarification of expectations, it's you don't know what you don't know. We need to start a Shooting Spaces apparel line.
I like both of those. Put it on a coffee cup. I'll drink it.
Yes. Well, no one buys our Shooting Spaces coffee cups, so we're done with investing in coffee cups.
Oh no.
We'll ship you one, Don.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I collect coffee cups like no other. I even have a coffee cup with me on my face holding a coffee cup.
Do you?
Yes.
Can you get that and show our YouTube watchers at the end of this episode? Because I have to see that.
I could definitely do it. Yeah.
Cool.
Because I gave it to my grandma for, I just moved my grandma in last week to my house. You know, her heart wasn't doing so well. So I have two extra rooms. So I moved her in with me. And so she was unpacking and she was like, remember this cup? I'm like, oh, there it is. This is amazing. Yeah. So we'll show them.
Cool. So what was the progression of, I guess, 2017, you said when you started, you were working for another company. Correct. And then I guess you decided at one point, I need to do this on my own. I'm not working for somebody else. I can make much more money, et cetera.
Correct. It wasn't necessarily about the money. It was more about the growth and being able to control a lot more things. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of little different hiccups that I was having to where I couldn't have. My main thing was Matterport. In 2020, Matterport became like a staple for my company because, you know, we go into the lockdowns and how do you get people into the house without actually getting them into the house? A video can tell a story. You know, your pictures can definitely get them in there too. But if they literally can't go to the house, 3D was like the main thing to do. Like from 2018 to 2020, I did maybe 12 3Ds. And since then, I think I'm over 1,000. So in the past 2 years, over 1,000 3Ds. And so in 2020, my biggest hindrance was time management. I can usually fit in a photo shoot that does photo, video, and drone within an hour. But if I add in 3D, that's 2 hours. That last 30 minutes, I normally use that for driving to the next shoot or doing whatever I need to do, like business stuff. What ended up happening, I wanted to hire someone and they just wouldn't allow me to hire them underneath my company. We were independent contractors with this company. And so it's not like they were my boss. They were just dictating what they didn't want and as one of their contractors. So I was like, all right, cool. Reverse that just a little bit. When I first started out, I had to pay them 30% of my invoice.
I worked for a very similar company when I started out as well. It was a local company out here on Long Island and it was similar. They sort of essentially allowed me to run my own business and have my own clients, but they handled all the invoicing and the post-production and took about 30%, give or take, like you said. But yeah, they didn't want anybody else working under me and they didn't want me scaling up and growing the business, probably because they knew if I got to that point and I started having employees shoot under me for them, then all I had to do was drop them and I had a really successful business going.
Yeah. So. Definitely. And so the worst part was I had to handle all the invoicing, all the client management, all the scheduling, and the editing. Like all those fees came to me. They were running Google ads for me. But then what was a big hindrance, you know, it went from 30% down to 25%, down to 20%, down to 15%. Just based off of all the services that I did. The only problem was is that I offered all the services to begin with, which was photo, video, drone, and 3D. But what ended up happening, I was just like, look, I see that you guys aren't advertising for me anymore. You're not allowing me to grow. I need to hire someone. I did bring someone on in 2020, but she was like, I'm not getting enough work. I can't stay around for you. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's during the fall. I understand. And so then that December 2020 is whenever I left, and Dom Does Media as it is right now in 2021 came about.
Cool. So your actual business is literally like a year and a half, 2 years.
Of me operating on my own, correct.
Sure. Were you able to bring some of those clients over? I don't want to poaching those clients, but...
So what I said to them is that I'm giving you all your clients back during that time, because they also said your job is to find your own clients. And I was like, deal. I'm excellent at Instagram marketing, target niche, direct targeted hashtags in a niche, you know, client base that we are. So it's like, I knew what zip code I wanted to work in, who I needed to target, how do I get in front of their face? And so that allowed me to grow all my new business. 75% of my new clients were coming from Instagram and not from them. Mm-hmm. Like, I would backfill them if they needed help. But
that does make sense. If they're wanting you to go, you know, make your own clients and then give them, mm-hmm. find your own clients and then give them 30% on top of that. It's mm-hmm. for what purpose?
To make some money.
No, I understand the purpose from their standpoint, but I'm saying your purpose, there's absolutely no point to that.
And that's the argument that I presented. I was like, look, dude, I'm giving you back all your clients. I'm going to tell them, hey, don't come with me. You know, this company has four or five other people who you can cover. I don't need them. I appreciate everything that you have taught me over this time. And I really do not want us to break like this. In fact, I still talk with all the photographers now. Like, we're still good friends. We still help each other out. They told me that they couldn't find someone to cover for me in my area to bring in another person. They're like, we just can't hire anyone. I left 3 days later. They found someone mm-hmm. to cover my area. All right. Hey, it is what it is. I hold no ill regard. Is that the words that I want? I don't hate them. I don't, you know, it was a good learning experience. Like, anything bad that happens with me in my life.
I wouldn't drop them on their head. Okay.
Yeah, no, I wish them the best. I completely do. Because without them starting me off, I see so many new people saying, hey, how do I get my first clients? Whereas I was handed 20 clients. It was rough the first year or two, but rough in what aspect? Like, I was putting, you know, like I was saying, putting in 80 hour a week for what, $500-$600 paychecks. You know, yeah, there's some days to where I am putting in 16, 17 hour days now, but I'm paid handsomely for that. Mm-hmm. And I can't really say that I'm putting in 80 hour. What was it? Here, this is for 56 hours from the Tacoma News Tribune. I worked for the second largest newspaper in Washington State. They paid me $420. Jeez. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's not even my smallest invoice right now.
So we didn't even talk about that, but you're located in the Pacific Northwest, right? Where exactly?
Yeah, correct. So the business is technically Tacoma, Washington-ish, but I moved to Gig Harbor, which is right across the bridge. No one really knows where Gig Harbor is, but if I say Tacoma, people will know where that is. But I went from the average house price of $450,000 to $770,000 just by moving across the bridge.
Nice.
Did you say Gig Harbor?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Isn't Tacy from Gig Harbor?
No, she's up in Whidbey Island. So she's Yeah, she's further away. She's on another island. It's just this island chain that's up north from here. But mm-hmm. Tacy, God, she's so amazing. Her and I chat shop all the time, and, you know,
yeah,
same market and kind of, you know, same kind of people. She just tossed me a good client just the other day that just wanted a full deluxe package. And I'm like, all right, I'll take that. You know, can't complain, but she's great people. If anyone listening, you want to see how to provide high quality content video with a cell phone, she beats me with my camera.
She's the standard. And she's, I've used her a lot for my resources, getting information on a lot of things. And we've been friends for a long time. But she is super, super talented, super smart, and I hope she's listening, because I always like to let her know we're big fans of hers. But and look forward to seeing her at PMRE.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
And you got Christine Cole over in your area too.
She's actually on the east side of Washington. And so that's a couple hours away.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And so it's almost like a totally different state over there. We like to, instead of Eastern Washington, we call it Western Idaho.
But there's a couple of photographers. I mean, we've had a few more on the show. I don't remember everyone that's in the Seattle area.
Yeah, correct.
So there's a lot of you out there.
It's a saturated market. It definitely is a saturated market, but there is more than enough. We have three or four big, four big military bases around here to where houses are being sold all the time. You know, people moving in and out of here, the tech industry with Seattle and everything, Microsoft, Amazon and everything. So people are moving in and out of this place all the time, but then money is here. Because it's all like they get a brand new data entry person for Microsoft or whatever, and dude's making 150 already, you know? Yeah. So it's expensive out here. Not California expensive, but it's expensive.
Well, Rich is California, I'm New York. So you have.
I think you guys understand.
Yeah, no, exactly. With that, though, I'm going to pause for a second and ask you, are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? I know you are, Dom. Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with a state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first five standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square foot free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section of camera purchase. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more.
Dom, I just did my first iGUIDE yesterday.
Yeah, you were telling me. Dom, we got to convert you over to the iGUIDE side one day.
You still Matterport, Dom?
Yes. Okay. I haven't
done a Matterport in 2 years.
Really?
Literally 2 years, and I'm still paying them monthly. That is what pains me about Matterport.
Are you still hosting some stuff?
Yeah.
Can you transfer them?
No, I get reimbursed by the clients. So it's not costing me anything out of pocket. It's just a pain in the ass. You know what I mean? It's just a pain in the ass.
On the other hand, I'm with Cloud Pano, and I've got some commercial clients that I just sent out a $6,000 invoice, my yearly invoice for hosting for this apartment complex company. And I've never have to pay again for doing that. So, you know, I use different things for different things, and I'm using them more for floor plans. But for 360s, I'm just, and as you said, it's amazing when COVID hit. I never did 360s in real estate before. I mean, I used to do it for a living for Yellow Pages with, what the hell was the name of the company? Anyway, but I really found that it took off, and people are still using 360. My agents that never used it before started using it. Now they use it on every listing. So it's amazing.
Well, I know Rich that it was a little bit of a learning curve, as is anything when you got the iGUIDE,
but
now that you have it, it's pretty simple to use. Now it's a pretty cool system.
Well, you know what I learned yesterday, just to break in a second, and this is a really good lesson for people. And I'm a big believer that, like, when I went to Sony, I must have spent 40 hours on YouTube trying to learn everything about the menu system, and it's still screwed up. I hate the Sony menu system, but I had to spend so much time. And then I started doing the Ricoh camera, and that went really, really easy. And then with the iGUIDE, I learned last night that I really had to work in my own house to get it down, because I made a mistake of going out and shooting before I was ready. Mm-hmm. And it was just about aligning, what are they called? Aligning scans for the floor plans. And, you know, they sort of do it automatically, but sometimes it doesn't work right. So you've got to do it manually. And I learned yesterday that you don't do it when you get home, you do it as you're shooting. Yeah. And that was huge to me. And I finally figured it out last night. And I probably spent about 5 hours yesterday figuring it out.
Dom, you look really confused. So essentially, you shoot commercial spaces, right? You've told me that.
Yeah.
So essentially, as you know, if you do Matterport on a commercial space, which is in 2020, you talk about how many you know, Matterport tours you did, that was probably 95% of my work in the commercial real estate industry in 2020. I probably scanned about 1.2 million square feet of office space with Matterport in 2020, yeah, when everything went down. Especially being in New York, companies were going out of business left and right. People were trying to sublease their spaces. Mm-hmm. We just had so much empty commercial real estate. And what I learned is when you're shooting a commercial space, especially an office space, especially in New York, where there's rows and rows of cubicles that look exactly the same, Matterport will have the most impossible time trying to align identical items, as I'm sure you know. If you're doing rows and rows of cubicles, Matterport doesn't know if you're in row one or row two or row three. It just becomes a big mesh or jamble. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for me was with the iGUIDE, and I don't know, I mean, I haven't used Matterport in 2 years, so I don't think they've updated it, why you cannot manually align a scan that's misaligned. So with the iGUIDE, if you scan something and it doesn't align properly, I hit align, I move the scan to where it's supposed to be and just hit save, and it works perfect. And Matterport does not have that. And when you're doing residential, it's not a big deal because everything aligns perfectly. But when you're doing big commercial space, an industrial space where it's just a big empty 40,000 square foot warehouse where it's an alignment nightmare, or you're doing rows of cubicles, that's an alignment nightmare, the Matterport just, it's not set up for stuff like that. So
I think that is one problem that I see, like in the Matterport user groups and everything like that. I see, oh God, 200 to 300 scans per thing. I'm like, holy crap. It gets crazy for me whenever I'm at like 70. I'm like, oh man, 70 scans. I should go take a vacation, you know?
Yeah, but no, I've done properties with 400 to 500 scans. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest one I ever did was 125,000 square foot Matterport. Okay. And it took me 7 hours, something like mm-hmm. that. Only because I had so many misalignments, and you just have to keep going back and moving it a foot over and trying to get it right. Where if I did the same thing with the iGUIDE, I would have been there for 2 hours.
So I know it's, you know,
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just,
oh no, I definitely understand. If you delete the last scan and just rescan it, it aligns a lot easier that way. That's what I've learned over the years.
Yes, but not when I have 30 aisles of the same cubicles over and over. It has no idea. It has no idea where you are. And you know, I forgot what it's called because I haven't done it in a while. You know, their QR system. You familiar with that? So that Matterport has this thing. Let me see if I can find it while we're chatting. Where if you're scanning a big space like that, alignment assist, I think it's called. Let me see. Assisted alignment. Mm-hmm. So if you're scanning a big space like that, where it's going to have these alignment issues, Matterport gives you a PDF with 50 QR codes on it, or 1 to 50, and then you can get 51 to 100 QR mm-hmm. codes, and you literally print these out and you tape it to the wall.
Really?
And there's a setting in your Matterport settings that mm-hmm. that you can enable and turn on assisted alignment. And what it does is it looks for these QR codes that you have taped to the wall and uses those to align properly. And it does work. It does mm-hmm. work great, actually. The one problem is, you know, people going through this tour see these QR codes hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, pros and cons, but.
Yeah, I think there is a big team iGUIDE and a big team Matterport. For myself, I like Matterport and the quality that it provides, but I don't do them myself. That's why I hired myself a Bailey. Bailey is my 3D guru. She is the reason why I am still sane and still able to push out the numbers that I'm able to push out. And now I'm training her into doing photography, and she's about to go take her drone license exam too, so that she can be even busier. But without her, dear God, I hate Matterports with a passion. Like I hate doing them. I love them, but I hate doing them just because it takes so long.
Yeah, exactly. So you brought it up. So let's talk about that. I guess the next phase of your business, which has been over the last few months, you're starting to build a team. Your numbers are starting to look really insane. And I don't know if you are or not comfortable sharing them on the podcast, some sort of numbers on the podcast, because I know you do share them
definitely
publicly. But like I said, you started early 2021, so a little over a year ago in your own business. Sure. Do you mind talking about what you're estimating to hit by the end of 2022?
So I can kind of go back, just even, I know the numbers out the top of my head, from 2018, and for 2018, I don't really even consider that a year because there was a half a year, but for 2019, I put in $106,000. Okay. And that was my first full year.
That was with giving 30% to this.
Correct. Company. So like, you know, I put, and I had to cover editing and everything like that. Yeah. So, and after taxes, it was like $50,000, if that.
Okay. Yeah.
But see, that 30% that I was giving them, I was able to tax, that was a tax write-off.
Sure.
And so 2020 was whenever 3D became really big, and same with my videos. My videos skyrocketed too. I pushed 196,000 in 2020.
This doesn't include your employees?
There was no employee back then in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now in 2021, that's whenever I brought in Bailey, and that's whenever I was solo. So for 2021, just off of the business alone was $266,000. Now I did pay Bailey close to, I think it was like $25,000, because I pay her by the job. Mm-hmm. To run the Matterport and everything like that, and same with the photos and everything. This year I kind of moved her over into a more of a retainer fee / salary position on top of bonuses. So like, I don't want to get too much into her stuff just because, you know, that's still private for her, but mm-hmm. I paid out almost double what I paid her for salary last month. Mm-hmm. And this month I'm planning on, God, she's going to be, this month is, right now I'm sitting at $208,000 already
on the year and we're not even halfway
through. I'm looking at a
you're on pace for $500,000 a year, which is for 4 years in the industry. Mm-hmm. And a year and a half of your own business. It's correct. Just it's phenomenal. It's really insane.
Correct. I have another another photographer coming up soon. He needs to retake his drone license, but if I can get him just handling, that's my hiccup right now, is drone license people. Like I can send someone to go do 3D, I can send someone to do photos, but I cannot send someone to go do drone without a Part 107 license.
Sure.
And I'm our only person right now. And so I'm hearing a lot in the industry that they're just looking for Part 107 people. And that's just tedious to try to find.
Well, let's talk about, if we can, I really want to talk about your involvement with the drone industry and what you're doing at PMRE. What's going on with that?
So I took my drone license test back in 2018, and I got Drone Launch Academy. I got their study guide for it. And so, you know, I really enjoyed it because it really reminded me of military computer-based training. CBTs, they call them in the military. Tests.
Was the test a breeze for you coming from the Air Force?
Yeah. Yeah. I was in and out of that stuff. Like 10 minutes. Yeah. Cause it's like, I knew how to read maps, you know, trying to translate it into civilian talk and everything. It's the same from going from military cop to civilian cop. I was literally about to become a civilian cop and then I broke my leg. Different story. Yeah. But the test was so easy, but that study guide broke it down Barney style for me. And it just like NADM, like reading the weather and everything like that, but just seeing how they classify different airspaces and stuff like that. So I took that test. And so how did I get us? I jumped on their podcast back in 2019, I think it was. They were launching a new course called Drone to 1K. How can they teach someone to, with a drone, make $1,000 a month? And their podcast was, hey, who makes it? I jumped on telling you the same exact story. In fact, I was a little bit more in depth in that. I know we want to talk about other stuff, but for that Drone to 1K course, he brought me on as an instructor to teach people how to get clients for free on Instagram. And it wasn't about being salesy. It's just about being a person and having a decent portfolio.
And there's an idea for a webinar right there, Rich.
Take it.
We'll do a webinar one day.
You're on the webinar.
How to get teach people how to get clients to Instagram.
Easy enough.
get our next webinar. Yeah. All right, moving on.
In fact, I don't even post on Instagram anymore because I can't handle more clients right now. And yet every week I get new clients from Instagram because they've been
is that a complaint
me.
Or is...
It's a learning lesson because I didn't grow my business in the proper way fast enough. Because I was nervous. I was like, what if I fell? And so I wanted to make sure that I had my people enough money. I wanted to make sure that Bailey was secure with the money that I was paying her. I don't care about how much I make. I just wanted to make sure that she had enough. And if I brought someone else on, will they have enough? And so I was just more worried about everybody else. But then now I'm seeing, like, using Aureo and everything, how the back-end system like that with their automatic scheduling system and everything has made my life so much easier. And so automating a lot of things, same with editors and stuff, has allowed me to easily grow now. And it's dangerous because I can see how I can multiply myself several times. But I don't want to grow too fast.
Sure. But based on the you know trajectory you're going at with you and one other employee, I mean, there's no reason I can't see why within another 2 years you're running a $1 million company with two or three other employees. I mean, it's right there for you.
Yeah, definitely. I have a 5 year. I keep joking about it. I mentioned it at last year's conference, but my 5 year goal is to sell it to a big box.
There you go.
I mean, that's
retire early down in the Caribbean.
Move to Tahiti. Yeah.
Well, I want to move to Wyoming and open up a farm.
I was going to say move down to Mexico.
What are you going
to
grow?
Next to Rich.
Everything.
Like, you're going to grow everything.
I literally launched a new business just recently for my gardening. I sell flowers to the local florist. I'm going to be hitting up farmers markets whenever I'm not photo shooting, selling all my products and everything. Last year, I was producing 5 to 10 pounds of produce with 4 raised beds. I have over 30 raised beds in my backyard now. So yeah, that's a whole nother business. I don't even know what I'm doing, but hey, it's working.
Well, look, you know what? You find something you love and you're passionate about, and you go in and you grab it and you know, you figure out a way to make money doing it. That's what we're all doing. We're all photographers, yeah. And most of us, it started as a passion.
And yeah. You know, you and I talked earlier about, you know, you're in your 30s, and you know, I just turned 65, so my goal is not an upward trajectory. I've been there, and you know, and I'm just kind of really enjoying what I'm doing, but I look at you and I go, you know what? I kind of wished, although I love the movie industry, I kind of wished I had the real estate business. And, you know, but there wasn't a real estate photography business back then. But I think that you've got so many things you can do, and I commend you. It's what we all dream about, you know?
I appreciate it. I mean, I think we all have our own journey that we take in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it took a broken leg for me to reach this. So
yeah,
whenever life gives you lemons, you throw them right back at them, right? but we were talking about how we got to this whole drone thing. I think we can rotate into this.
Sure.
Brandon last year offered me to produce a drone video. I'm like, oh God, me producing a drone video, because our 2021 was quite interesting. His name's escaping me right now, but Dan Milstein, he was doing the live stream. And so then I followed up with him with a video just trying to explain to people, but it's very hard to explain how to make drones work for you within 15 minutes. And so this year for Brandon, he's reached out to drone myself and see if I could bring in Drone Launch Academy with David. And so what we're offering now is a workshop at PMRE, right before PMRE, to teach people how to, you know, operate a drone, very basic stuff. You know, do we want to get into this right now?
Yeah, we can. No, for sure. Okay. We had David on an episode and he talked all about it. So,
oh, did he?
Yeah. But I mean, you're here, you're going to be there, you're going to be teaching a workshop as.
Want to hear from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great because I find myself as a very talkative individual that dislikes people. It's funny. but no, he brought me on mainly because I'm going to be teaching the more the real estate aspect things. You know, you can make some beautiful cinematic videos out there doing some nature stuff, doing some other things, but how do you portray that to a house? You know, we can all do it ground level. Some of us remember the times to where we had to use a pole. I've never had to use a pole. I'm talking as if I'm that old, but I'm not. But you know, just trying to tell the story as you do on the inside of the house with a drone. I mean, people are sending drones inside right now with those Cinewhoops or whatever, doing FPV drones inside. I'm not doing that yet. Not the way that my insurance is set up. Not happening. But
I don't blame you.
I think this course is pretty good for a lot of like people who have not added drone into their package yet, because look, I don't charge that much for drone. In fact, you speak to any other drone pilot and I think I'm pretty low with whatever I charge. I only charge $100 to add drone photos to my package. But that's 5 to 10 minutes of work, and it's a $100 add-on. Now, if it goes into video, you know, we're pushing up $250. And so that normally gets added to my video any which way. So I turn a $350 video into a $500 video. And then say a $450 photo package to a $550 photo package just off of offering drone. And drone photography, videography is added on to almost every single package that I do. And so if we can go out there and teach people how to, you know, showcase the home in a proper way, showcase the community in a proper way. A lot of people, I grew up playing Xbox. I'm an all-star whenever it comes to Battlefield 3 and the helicopter. I'm a ballerina up there. And lately I've been trying to ballerina it and I've lost 2 drones so far, so we're not going to ballerina anymore. I'll get into that in a minute if we have time. But I think a lot of people are nervous. Like, what do I do first? How do I handle a drone? Like, how do I set it up? What do I do? What happens if it flies off? Well, it really shouldn't fly off. And I think the other cool thing is adding in the whole Part 107 course to it too, like a study guide. If someone who hasn't got their, you know, drone license yet, and they need it, that's part of this workshop. They get to have that and take it home with them.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, and you know, we talked about this when we interviewed Brandon as well as David, is for those who've never used it, it's just the opportunity to try it and see if it feels comfortable in their hand and see mm-hmm. if they like it and see, because, you know, I think as Brandon put it, Rich, I think he's the one that said this, it's tough to go out and spend the time studying for Part 107, the money, which is not expensive, but the money. And then you got to drop, give or take, $2,000 between the drone, your accessories, everything else. You need extra batteries, at least $2,000 plus to get, you know, a decent drone system. And you're doing that before you even know if, number one, you can upsell it on real estate packages, which is where what you're teaching comes into play. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you enjoy it, because we all love what we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. You're not a photographer. You don't love what you do. So you want to make sure you enjoy flying drones. And number three, you know, it feels comfortable in your hand and you have the confidence to go out and actually fly a drone safely and get quality work doing it. So going into a workshop where you have that opportunity to try that and do that for the day and see if it's something that you want to get into is a worthy investment before you go out and drop, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 with the Part 107 and hours studying for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right there for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your hours studying. A lot of us have test anxiety. Luckily for me, I felt bad for the dude. I went in and the guy was sitting in there for a good hour and a half before I got in there. And then I finished the test, walked out, scored like an 85% or something like that within 15 minutes. And the guy was in there for another hour.
Jeez.
Just because, you know, it was scary for him, or he wasn't prepared. You know what I mean? And so like having this workshop and then having the prep course for free also with it, actually, I think it eases people's minds, because adding in something new is very scary. Like you say, upselling, just simple thing. Tyler, he's one of, he kind of started like a year or two after me, and I'll share this with you guys, but he would always be like, no, Matterport, my agents will never buy Matterport. There is no way that agents will ever buy Matterport. And I'm like, dude, I will pay for you a Zeta or a Theta or whatever. And I want to see if you can do it. And now, like, 3D is a big part of his business now, and he's growing too. So it's like, I feel like now drone photography is almost, it's a hindrance if you don't have it. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to find someone who does.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the industry has turned over the last few years is, mm-hmm. you know, there people want media companies to provide all the different media content versus photographers here, correct. Drone operators here, video guy there, floor pan guy there, just hire one guy that does it all and just be done with it. So,
correct. And I think that's one thing that I kind of took out of 2019 or PFRE 2019 is that it was pushing everybody away from real estate into, I forgot who said it, but like, they're like, don't try to do everything. Just try to do one thing. I was like, no, I could do everything and be pretty good at it. And so I kind of took, I don't want to say spitefulness, but I like to prove people wrong.
Well, I know what the quote you're referring to, but I mean, I took that quote a little differently. And I mm-hmm. thought by that, I forgot who actually said it, but I remember specifically thinking when that happened, that they didn't necessarily mean don't just be a photographer for real estate, but mm-hmm. what they were taking is don't be a wedding photographer and a real estate photographer and a newborn photographer and a portrait photographer and a sports photographer. Sorry, Rich. Because you know, you can't excel at everything. You know, you can be mediocre at everything. You can be
mediocre. Maybe I'm mediocre.
there's not a knock against you, Rich. But and you don't.
It's tough.
Besides real estate, really, though, you only shoot really sports, hard. So you found your two niches. It's not like, I mean, you shoot weddings occasionally, but you don't run your own wedding studio.
I've shot four weddings in the last 4 weeks. I shot a portraits, a kids I actor just shut headshots up. Today. You better shut up because I did a killer job. No, I understand what you're saying, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot to do all of that really well. Mm-hmm. So. I will say.
So I guess I did take that a little bit different than maybe what you did. I took it as, no, I could do video, I could do drone, I could do any of this. But see, the problem is, so like with me pushing a lot of people to do everything, you know, we see a lot of people come in and be like, hey, I'm just going to do photos. Do you guys think I can make a career out of this? Like Bradley out in DC, yeah, he can make a career. He made six figures just doing photos. And now he has a huge company. That's, you know, working with some of the biggest builders in the United States, traveling all over the United States for that just by doing photos. His business has grown into something bigger than that, but it is tough, like I've taken clients, not on purpose, but I've taken clients from just photographers because they found that I can handle, you know, the photo, video, drone, and 3D within an hour. And I am their smallest part of, like, a home inspection takes longer than what it is for me to go in and out of that house. Mm. And so, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, we're running a little short on time. That's been a long interview. It's been a very enjoyable interview
too, I appreciate
Dominic. Very, very interesting person. I look forward to hanging with you in Vegas.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
And again, you're going to be doing this workshop. What is it, the Monday or the Tuesday?
It is a Monday beforehand. So that gives me enough time.
I can't go because I'm having my workshop.
Yeah, so, you know.
And that's Brian's going to be thing. With me. Yeah.
I want to go to everybody. Like I went to the workshops last year. I mean, for the last one, uh-huh. I paid for Bailey to go to the photography one, and I went to the videography one, and just, mm-hmm. you know, interacting with everybody. I think that's one cool thing. The conference, you know, someone's speaking to you. At these workshops, you're almost having a one-on-one interaction, and you can talk to people about your problems that you're having. And so either if it's for the videography, the photography, commercial, or drone, you actually can look your instructor in the face and be like, what?
Yeah. There is nothing better than a hands-on workshop.
Correct.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Listen, I just got to say a word from our sponsor, PhotoUp. Are you tired of spending money to dial in your editing team? I know I was. PhotoUp is now offering $100 of free editing to Shooting Spaces listeners. You can choose to work with their team of trained editors starting at just $1 per image, or choose to work directly with the dedicated editor to have them learn your specific style. Don't need help editing? Well, Photo Up Awful also offers, provides virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, and virtual assistant services, starting under $7 an hour. So head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the Photo Up link on the Shooting Spaces website to redeem your free $100 credit. Make Photo Up your editing team partner so you can spend less time editing photos and more time shooting spaces. Get it? Okay, got it. That's photoup.net/shootingspaces. And with that, what's up, Brian?
Nothing. Well, we spoke about your workshop, Dom. Rich and I also have our own workshops going on. Mm-hmm. Rich is the same day as yours. Rich, you're teaching everything about residential. So as Dom put it so eloquently, you can look Rich in the face and say, what am I doing wrong? And Rich will tell you, hopefully, what you're doing wrong. So Rich, you're that Monday. I think it's the 7th. Is that the right? The 7th of November?
Don't have it in front of me.
Out in Las Vegas, yeah. Everything you need to know about residential real estate. I'm going to be the following day, Tuesday, the 8th, everything you need to know about commercial real estate. And Rich, I'm going to be joining you on that Monday. You're going to be joining me on that Tuesday. So if you want to learn commercial real estate photography, you can look Rich in the face and ask him what you're doing wrong.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun too, because as I am involved in teaching the workshop, you're going to be there to be do just whatever and help people and talk to people and serve donuts.
I'll serve donuts.
And the same thing when you're doing your commercial workshop, I'm going to be hanging out and we're going to have a lot of fun hanging out. So
we're going to
come on and hang out with us.
We're going to have tacos.
We can have some tacos.
Okay.
Sure. Good. Why not? And then, if anybody wants to register for any of the workshops, including Dom's, myself, Rich's, or I think the luxury real estate is sold out at this point, but the video one still has some availability. Also, pmreconference.com. You can go there. You can register for the conference November 9th and 10th. You can register for any one of the workshops beforehand. And that's about it.
Yeah.
So awesome. With that, Rich, get your Ask the Guys questions in. We got a bunch in. We're going to have some awesome episodes this season on some Ask the Guys. We've released a few already, but send us your question. Dom, if you have a question about anything, just come on and disguise your voice and pretend you're someone else and just ask us a question.
Got it, coach.
Exactly.
Mr. Galifianakis. Okay. And, you know, I just want to say that we've got our courses, our real estate or commercial courses, webinars, presets, you name it. We've even got coffee mugs. Come on, guys, get some coffee mugs and t-shirts. Anyway, we didn't get to see your coffee mug, but you know what, Dominic, it's another reason to have you back on the podcast in the future.
I'll bring it next time.
Show your coffee mugs. But with that, I'd like to just say I am getting so psyched for Vegas and really excited for the rest of the year because it's been a really good year and it's going to be a super, super good second half of the year. So with that, I just want to say go have fun, go out and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.